anything is possible as we're led by His Holy Spirit and we seek His leading and His guiding. And Jesus, as we read about Him in Scripture, we're going to read about Him in Mark chapter 6, starting from verse 30 in a moment, we need to realize that God was with Him. God was with Him in a powerful way and was led as He was led by the Spirit of God. So let's read together. Lord, just bless Your word to us as we come around it this morning. We thank You. We find encouragement by Your word. We find truth by Your word. We find transformation by Your word. We find life by Your word. Father, we pray as we hear it, as we read it, as we look at it this morning, Father, it would be living in our hearts and lives. Lord, we trust that You, Holy Spirit, are our teacher this morning. And we say thank You that You have things to show us and to teach us today. And Lord, I pray as Your word comes forth this morning, Lord, Your word, not mine, but Your word, Lord, that shackles would be broken. Lord, that chains would just drop off. Father, Lord, that there would be a transformation, a change, Lord, in our thinking. Lord, in the way that we think, the way our perception. Lord, our faith would be invigorated by Your word today. Because You said faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So, Father, Lord, as we hear Your word today, let it do its work. And, Lord, accomplish all that You want it to accomplish in each of us. Lord, individually and together, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a multiplying, increasing God. I tell you, the abundant God. We looked last week about the abundant life of Jesus Christ. He came to bring life and abundance. There's an abundant supply in God. He is a God of greatness. There's no limit to Him at all. There's no limit to His love. There's no limit to His power. There's no limit or depth to Him in any way. He is great and He is good. And I praise God for that. He is good and we have an abundant God who gives good gifts. The Bible says every good gift comes from above. Let's read from Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And we're going to take it through a few verses at a time. See, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. And He said to them, come away by yourself to a secluded place and rest a while, for there will be many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Here Jesus has begun His ministry. He's encouraged the disciples and sent them out and given them authority and commissioned them to go. And they'd been going around and healing people, casting demons out of people. They've been setting people free and preaching the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom has come. That proclamation that God's will is for freedom and life and truth. And that Jesus the Messiah has come. I mean, the producer preaching the kingdom of God. And they came back to Jesus at this point saying, Jesus, we're seeing things happen at Your name. What You said is happening. And they're reporting these great things that Jesus, that they were doing in the name of Jesus. And Jesus saw, and notice this. This is the wonderful thing about Jesus' character. I want us to explore some of Jesus' character today and just the Jesus that we have in our lives. But Jesus saw that they were tired and that they were hungry. And He didn't say, right, there's more people to go, there's more villages to go and see, there's more things to do, and thank You that You're here to help me. But He said, come away and rest. Come away with Me, and let's just rest a while by yourself. Come and just rest in God. And one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me, and I believe maybe a word for I'm sure all of us, but maybe specifically for some individuals here today, that God calls us to a time just to rest a while. But I don't believe that this is a rest where we go back, kick our feet up and put the television on and have a few snacks and just watch a few soaps or whatever, watch the television. I believe it's a rest in God. And God calls us, and the Lord's been speaking to me about this. He says, when you rest, don't just rest and get some sleep, and because you're resting your body, and that's one thing, and our bodies do need rest. Absolutely. You know, and I love my rest. And we need those times of just quiet, those times by ourselves. But there's a difference between your body getting rest and resting in God in your spirit. God wants to strengthen you in Him. And I believe that Jesus was encouraging them, you go in My name, but also I want you to come in My name. I want you to come and rest and be strengthened with Me. Allow Me just to be with you and encourage you. You know, David said he strengthened himself in the Lord. As Christians, we have a wonderful privilege through life that when life gets tough, when it gets busy, when we get tired, and when we're giving, and all kinds of things can come back at us, that we have a place to come to where we can be strengthened in God. I want to encourage you to learn what it is to come away with God. Learn what it is to shut yourself in that closet and just spend time with Jesus. We just had a few moments, maybe a minute or so during the service today, during the meeting, where we just quietly just sat before God. You know, I encourage you, have those times with God, with your skip the Bible and just open it up and just allow God to minister to your spirit and strengthen you and ready you for life, whatever would be next. Jesus didn't even say it, but he did it himself. Often we know that he would go away and pray and to strengthen himself. And God allowed the God to strengthen him, whether God would send angels to him or whether he'd be in prayer or whether it be the word of God or whether it be the spirit of God. He'd be learning to strengthen himself in God. And as Christians, we need that. We go out into the world every day of our lives and there is a fierce battle that is raging, a spiritual battle that is raging and wanting to hold us down. But praise God, he wants to strengthen us and to send us out. He continues to send them out. He didn't just send the disciples out once, but he kept sending them out. And you and I, we're going once. We go in his name. And God doesn't want us to be exhausted and tired in life, but he wants to strengthen us and invigorate us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that comes by spending time with him. I want to encourage us as a church to learn the importance of coming away with him. God takes care of his own, and he wants to take care of you. And that's a decision we have in our life. And then verse 33, it says, then the people saw them coming and going. And many recognized them and ran there together on foot from the cities and got there ahead of them. So just to get this picture, the disciples have been out. They've been telling people about Jesus. They've been telling people of the king, good news of the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, these people are hearing something that they've been waiting years to hear. And not only hearing, but they're seeing a demonstration of the Spirit's power. They're seeing the kingdom being demonstrated in their midst. Lives being changed and transformed and set free. Hearing things that they've not heard before. And just so all of a sudden, these people are wanting more. And the disciples come back to Jesus. And now the word is beginning to spread. And these people, and they're getting up and there's this hunger stirring in them. And it says they ran to get ahead of Jesus. I mean, we learned the last few weeks about not allowing Jesus to pass us by, praying, Jesus, don't pass us by. But maybe we need to have it in us as well. Lord, I don't want to pass you by. And it says they ran. There was a hunger in their hearts. There was a hunger for more and more of Jesus, to know more of truth, to know more of freedom, to know more of life, to know more of purpose. And it says they ran ahead. So they got on the boat and they were going off to shore and they went ahead to the other side. So all these people coming. And when they arrived, Jesus got off and thought, yes, we made it. We got there. And Jesus and disciples, they get off the boat and they see these people. They're panting, they're sweating, they're tired. But they got there. They're meeting with Jesus again. This morning, praise God, you're here. You're not here just to meet with one another, but we're here to meet with Jesus. Amen? Amen. I want to meet with Jesus. We can get excited because we want to meet with Jesus. And we know we can meet him anywhere we go. But we also know there's something special about when we gather together as a family, that Jesus will meet with us in this place. We hear what God is saying to us together. He ministered to us as we come together. And there they are. They get off the boat and they see these people just worn out from running, tired, hungry. And Jesus went ashore. He saw the large crowd. And I love this. And yet again, we hear these words. And he felt compassion for them. Wow, this is our God. Again, we see this word compassion. When Jesus ministers so often, he ministers out of a place of compassion. He doesn't just minister because, oh, it was prophesied long ago that I need to do this. Yes, it was there. But when Jesus moved, often he moved in power. He moved it in the miraculous. He moved in authority out of a moving, a compassion in his heart. You and I, we feel compassion, don't we? Sometimes we feel compassion. We feel compassion for one another here. We feel compassion for families. We can feel compassion for people that we work with. We feel compassion for our neighbors. We can feel compassion for people from the other side of the world. We have this compassion where we're moved in our spirits. We're moved in ourselves. That we know that something is not sitting right. This should not be right. That voice inside of you where you feel pain for another. You feel agony for another. You recognize that others do not have what they need to have. There is a lack in somebody else. And Jesus, he often saw that. He saw an emptiness. He said he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. You know, he saw people that came to him. They were without purpose. They wanted to know their plan. They had no leading. They had no guiding. And he saw them and he had compassion. And he couldn't leave them. He couldn't walk away from them. You know, he probably wanted a bit more rest, I'm sure, in his natural being. And the disciples thought, you know, here we go again. But he looked and he had compassion. And out of his compassion, it caused him to do something. I tell you, don't underestimate the power of compassion in your lives. We all have compassion, but it's what we do with that compassion when we have it. Sometimes we have compassion and we can brush it away and we leave it for someone else to deal with. Sometimes we have compassion and we move for a while and it sits there and we talk about it and there's more pity and then it fades. But sometimes we have compassion and we do something with it. I want to encourage us as a church, let us get compassionate about things. And let us do something with that compassion. You know, I think of Cynthia all those years ago with the children around the world. And just a stirring. You had compassion and you did something. How God multiplied and moved in the midst of that. And others of you, you had compassion and you moved in the midst of something. And maybe you're still serving. Maybe it was a season. But a life has been changed as a result of you moving compassion. If you do nothing with it, a life is not going to be changed. Because of compassion, people were healed. People heard the word of God. And we see another miracle take place because of compassion. And Jesus saw they were hungry for spiritual food and he fed them. You know, get hungry. You and I get hungry. We need spiritual food. You know, I pray in your spirit even now, you know, to say, God, give me a spiritual hunger for spiritual food. May I get such an appetite for the word of God. You know, just ask God to give you an appetite and he will give you because he's a compassionate God. He knows you need it. So he's not going to ignore that prayer. So give me a compassionate hunger. I mean, a hunger for your word. And he is compassionate towards you and he sees that you need direction. He sees that you need life. He sees that you need wisdom. He sees that you need some solution to make a decision in your life that's important. He sees that you need help. He sees you need advice. He sees you need counsel. But if you're not hungry for it, then, you know, I wonder, you know, in today's society, maybe there's Jesus is here. We know there's word. We know there's living word. We know there is answers in him. Maybe people say, well, Jesus said, well, I've got this pile of ironing to do. I'll come another day. Next time he's in town. I've got this endless soaps to watch. I've got things to do. I've got this amount of paperwork to do. And we can leave it. You know, when Jesus, we know there's a Jesus who's a compassionate God. He does not want to leave us where we're at. But he wants to meet us at that point of need. Know that when you come to Jesus, that he's compassionate towards you. And he will not leave you hungry. But he will feed you. He will feed you. This is his heart. This is his nature. This is his character. And this is what he's trying to get across to his disciples. And I believe he's wanting to teach us as a fellowship. He's teaching me. He says, when he saw them, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Continue to teach us those many things, Lord, that we might learn what it is to be a child of God. What we learn what it is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. That we not learn what it is to live a life in fullness. Not waste our years, not waste our time, not waste our life, but hear truth. Teach us, O Lord. And I believe God's saying, I will just love to teach you. You know, those words that he said to his disciples, there are many things I want to show you, but you cannot bear it now. And it's just that the hunger, there's so much more I want to share with you. But you cannot bear it now. You know, I know sometimes I speak with Mick and it's just, I've got something else. God's stirring in my heart. There's just so much more. And that's the heart. And I know there's some of you here as well. I'm sure you have that. So much more you just want to share with others. Maybe with your children or your grandchildren or others that don't want to hear. And you just want to share so much of Jesus. And they don't want to hear, but they just wish they would have ears to hear. Maybe we need to be a people that pray, Lord, give people in this town ears to hear more of you. Because I want to tell of you. They don't want to hear, but God, I want to tell of you. You know, Isaiah had that frustration. He said, God said, I'm going to send you to a people that don't want to hear, but you got to tell them anyway. Now, don't be frightened. People don't want to hear, but just tell him anyway. Tell him in love. Tell him because that you needed to hear. You know, sometimes I think, what would I want to hear if I didn't want to hear? What would I need to hear? Oh, Lord, praise you, Jesus. And then when it was quite late, verse 35, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. So, and we know from another one of the Gospels, we know that this person that comes to Jesus is Philip. And he comes to him and he says, Jesus, he said that you know, it's getting quite late. You've been teaching for a long time. And, you know, maybe the disciples are getting a bit tired. Maybe they're getting a bit hungry. And you're looking at the people. Maybe some of them are starting to nod off. And some of the tummy, you see those tummies rumbling in the crowd. He's saying, Jesus, you know, they're getting quite hungry now. They're physically hungry now. And it's getting quite late. And the shops will be closing soon. And it's quite an empty desert place, and they've got to travel back. So maybe it's time, Jesus, that they went off and we send them away so they can get some food, and then maybe tomorrow we can continue where we left off today. Maybe that's what he's thinking in his mind. And I think sometimes I can be like that. You know, there is a need, there is a spiritual need, but now there's a physical need that they're recognizing. And we see that need. And maybe we come up with a solution. If you go and do this, then that person there can meet your need. And we recognize the need. Maybe we have compassion. We see something in others. And we think, well, this, if you do this, this, and this, and then that can happen. And we put that ownership on the need being met on the individual that has the need. And Jesus just flips that totally. And he turns to them. And he says, you give them something to eat. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? Well, we see the need. We have compassion. God, we see the need. We see the need maybe in the children. We see the need in the, where there's poverty in this world. We see the need in Rotherham, in the homeless. We see the need around us in the schools. We see the need in broken families. And God says, you do something about it. What do I know, Jesus? Comes a response. What can I give? And so often, the cry of the church is, I see the need. Get others to do it. But God puts the ownership on us. Now, this is the way of the true Christian. And that's the responsibility God's given us. But it's not just a responsibility. It's a privilege for each of us to serve, that God would use us. And we know our frailties, we know our weaknesses, we know our shortcomings. And the disciples had many, and we could probably see many more in ourselves or in each other. But yet Jesus wants to share in that privilege. I want you to feed them. I want you to do something about this need. And all of a sudden, there becomes this purpose that arises within us. That actually, we don't put the ownership on others so often what we do, but actually the ownership God is placing is on us to share in the responsibility. Yes, you see the need, but what are you doing about that need? And it's not, well, I'll ring up the elder, I'll ring up the pastor, I'll ring up the leader, I'll ring up the youth worker, and I'll get them to do something. It's, what can I do? I see the need, the passion is stirring within me, the vision is stirring within me. I don't pass it on to somebody else to do. What do I do? We need to take ownership of the problems in this world. Not that we are part of the problem, I'm sure we are, but we have the solution to do something about it. And Jesus is teaching the disciples something, because everything Jesus did was, okay, it was a miracle, there was compassion, there was love, he wanted to see breakthrough and change, but he was teaching the disciples, to be like him. And he's teaching us today, you want to be like me? Well, actually, you see a need right now. There's something to do that you've got a responsibility to do. You give them something to eat. Well, there's all of a sudden, oh, some of you feeling a bit of a burden right now. Another thing to do. But you know, there's not that burden can be turned into a joy when Jesus is moving in this. And as you're seeing a bit, you know, they begin to share in the power of God. You give them something to eat. And they're looking around. And he says to them, should we go and spend 200 denarii, that's that 6 months' wages, on bread and give them something to eat? Are you saying, Jesus, that you want us to go down to the supermarket, go down to the shop, go down to McDonald's, go down to the chip shop, and buy enough food for 5,000 men and all the families and the children as well. I mean, this is going to cost us a lot of money. I mean, whether they had it or not, or whether he was being flippant, I don't know. He's saying, Jesus, do you realize the task which you're asking us to do? It is huge. Do you realize the burden that you're putting on our shoulders? It is humongous, Jesus. Is this what we need to do? And they're thinking like we do, practical issues. How are we going to do this? How are we going to work this one out? How can we make this happen? And it's great, you know, and they have got this attitude of positivity, maybe thinking, okay, Jesus, we're your disciples, we'll obey you, but how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this work? And we start to think in that logic way. We start to think of the pattern, how can this happen? I think Jesus wants us to look more on the kingdom side, less on the worldly side, more on the miraculous, more in the power of God, recognizing our weakness and his power. And he turns to them and says to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. We know again, I think it's in, is it John's gospel where it says that we had Philip come and said, well, you know, he said, you know, these people are hungry, send them away. And then Andrew comes and he brings this little boy to Jesus with these five loaves and two fish. So Andrew goes away, says, go and find out what loaves do. What do we have amongst us? What do we have? And, you know, that first question comes to us, you know, and it gets me to think, and I've been thinking about this as I've been preparing this message and thinking about this message. Firstly, what do I have? What do I have to offer? But the other question is, what do we have to offer as a church? What do we have? You know, what do we have amongst us? And, you know, we can look. And I think that's an important question because then Jesus says, go and look. And God puts us in the responsibility, okay, I want you to go and look. I want you to look at the potential in one another. That's the God's character. I tell you, that is our God's character. It's not the God's. So correct that. There's only one God. Don't think I'm thinking there's more than one. That's our God's character. That's Jesus' character. He sees the best. He sees the potential. He sees what you. No, he sees who you are in him. He sees what you will be in him. He sees the best. And he says, go and look. And so easy to go and look at the badness in others because if we see the bad and the faults in others, it makes us feel better about ourselves and we can esteem ourselves and then God's going to knock us down again because it's not right to us to be in that exalted place. But God says, go and look. Go and look at what you have amongst you. As a church, as we move forward, what do we have amongst us? What are those giftings? What do we have in ourselves? What do we have ourselves to offer? And there's Andrew. He's a man who went and looked. Let's be like Andrew's and go and look amongst the crowds and begin to, what have you got? Have you got anything that we can share with everybody else? And they pull out this young boy with five loaves and two fishes. And this little boy comes out and he says, well, I've got my lunch. I've got five loaves and two fish. And according to William Barclay, he seems to think that these loaves were, I mean, they were barley loaves, which means one of the poor man's bread. And William Barclay seems to think the fish were like sardines. They were like the side dish. They were just little fish. So he had very little. And amongst all this crowd, it wasn't the men, the ones who were counted. It was the one who wasn't counted. I love that. It was the boy. It was the child. God, you're teaching me something here and reminding me to say, there's not discount the children. Let's remember our children, our young people have got something to offer God. You know, and we may think, well, when you're older, when you're wiser, when you've learned the ways of God, when you've learned what we've learned, then we can give you these responsibilities. And yes, there is something in that. And please, you know, the Bible says, bring up a child in the way it should go. He shall not depart from it. And you know, about faithfulness and learning those things that God teaches us. But it doesn't mean we say, wait until you're older. Children have something to offer now. And they want to give. You know, we saw a few weeks ago when we came as that family service and our children serving on the door and in different ways. And there was joy amongst them. You know, wasn't that great? And, you know, I think God wants us to not just recognize what's in the men, but recognize what's in the women. Recognize what's in the children. Recognize what's in the outcast. Go and look. Go and look. Let's look at what our children have to offer. The giftings. What have you got to give? And he said, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Is that it? Is that it? And that's sometimes, again, the next barrier that comes along in life. We look at what we have and we look at what so-and-so has. Man, they've got loads. They've got so many giftings. They've got qualification after qualification. They've got the experience. They've been there. They've done this. They've seen this. I've just got a little. But Jesus is teaching us something yet again. What you have will always be enough for Jesus. What little you have will always be enough for Jesus. It's whether or not you're prepared to give it. Whether or not you're prepared to put it into the hands of Jesus to bless. You know, we have to look what we've got. And sometimes you think, well, I don't have much, so I just forget about it and I'll just help support those who do have something to give. And we end up being a support and not giving what God has given us to give. I tell you, you have something to give. If you have a breath, you have a breath to give. If you have ears, you can sit and listen to somebody and listen. You can ring up and say, just tell me about your week. What are you facing at the moment? I'm here to listen. If you have a mouth, you can pray. If you have hands, you can help in some way. If you have feet, you can go and do a task for somebody. Whatever you have, no matter how small, how little time it may be, offer it to Jesus. Because he's the God of multiplication. I tell you, everything God does, he multiplies. When he created this earth itself in creation, multiplication. The birds are multiplying, the trees are multiplying, there's fruits are multiplying. Everywhere we look, there's multiplication. There's people multiplying. We have a God of multiplication. He says he sends forth his word. And what happens? It multiplies. It grows. It doesn't return empty and does nothing, but it multiplies. He's the God of increase. When he sends love, it multiplies. It's grace on grace. It's glory on glory. This is the God that we have. He's not a God who's limited in his supply, but a God of increase. And he says to us, when we sow, when we begin to invest, when we begin to give, or whatever little it is, God takes a hold of that and begins to form it and multiply it and bless it and do something with it. Maybe I can challenge us and encourage you this week to look for what little you have, but also begin to pray, God, who can I begin to look at? Who is it that's on your heart? And begin to think about people around you and say, what they got to offer. Write a list, and maybe that can be a secret list you can keep in your prayer closet, and you can begin to pray that these things come to pass or these things come out. You know, we watch our children, and I'm sure Debbie, working with children for so many years, you'd be familiar with this as well, and others who've worked with children, you see them, and you see the difference in them, and some you can see leadership potential. Some have got organization skills. Some are so practical and have these practical. Some are so funny and have characters about them. And they're all different and unique and just a bundle of joy and potential. And yet we can stamp on that and say, you're amount to nothing. But you see these potentials. And God wants us to be a people like God who see these things in one another and then begin to pray and speak it into their lives and draw it out. And I just see the potential of this fellowship. I love this church. I tell you, I love this church. And I love every one of you. And I think there's so much potential. And I want to draw it out. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And it says that Jesus took that in his hands. And he blessed it. You know, sometimes we have something to give God, but we don't give it to him. We have it, and we don't allow God to bless it. Everything that we have to give to God. It's a kingdom principle of life. You know, God's blessed you with a house. Are you prepared to give your house to God? Are you prepared to open up your doors to those who need it? You know, to home, to fellowship, to coffees. God's given you a car. Are you prepared to use it to pick people up, to take them places, to transport when needed? What you have, are you prepared to say, God, I place this in your hands for you to bless, for you to use, for your glory? You know, we can take things, recognize what we have, and then go and use it the way we want to use it. God can give you a gift in whatever that may be, a skill. And you say, well, thank you for that gift. I'm going to go and use it how I think it should be used, but never place it in the hands of God to bless. I tell you, if God's giving you that gift, then really it's his anyway. He just wants you to know what you're going to do with what he's given you. And I think there comes a time in our life to say, God, here I am. And I tell you, when you place it into God's hands, he will bless it and use it more than you ever will. Just think of Hannah. It's the most precious thing that she could have was a son. And she had that son, Samuel. And she said, God, I give him back to you. And he became a mighty man of God who was used as a mighty prophet to raise up kings, to speak words into the nation of life, to direct the nation. Why? Because it was placed in God's hands under God's blessing. When you place that little you have into God's hands to bless, he will multiply, he will use, he'll do far more in his hands than he can do in your hands. So what have you got? Can you place it in the hands of God? That means that when God says, I want you to do something with it, you've got to do what I want you to do, not what you want to do with it. But God, it's my gift. God, you give it to me. I want to enjoy it. But I've given it to you to bless others. And in the blessing others, you'll see what I can do greater through my hands and through your hands. So placed in his hands, let's give it to God to bless. And the next thing we see that Jesus does, notice this, it says he broke it. Today we come around the table, he broke it. And there's just a little thing I think God is saying, but I think it's a big thing. There is something about breaking. And sometimes God's got to break his people to use us. And you know, sometimes the most effective people that I come across that are used for God, the people that have been broken by something in their life. Maybe they've gone through a broken marriage. Maybe they've gone through a broken, they've lost somebody, something of great importance to them. Maybe they've been treated or abused in some way. They've faced things in their life and they've got to the end and they're just broken. Absolutely nothing. They've just come to the end of themselves and they surrender to God. God places it in his hands. He does something with broken lives in his hands. And some of you have been through that brokenness. Some of you yet to go through it. Some of you have been through it again and again. And some of you may face it again. But know that God will do something with a broken life. That which is broken, God will bless. That gifting which maybe was broken sometime in your life. The thing that you were used by God in some way. It may have been broken. It may have been shattered. It may have been stood upon. It may have been neglected. It may have been thrown out the window. It may have been despised. But God, it may have been broken. But God will use that which is broken to put together and bless. Don't think my gifting is broken. God will use everything that you offer to him, no matter how little or how small. And he will break it and he will use it. And then he did something interesting. He didn't go around and say, right, I'm going to start dishing it out to people. He said, right, you go and feed them. He placed it back into the disciples' hands and said, you go and do it. But before he did that, he said, I want you to go and organize them into rows. And somebody described it like a vegetable field. They had them all distinctly in rows. They were set into 50s and 100s. They were sat together in groups. And he says, right, but do that. So sometimes when God's about to do a miracle in a life, just think, then God's about to do something. Sometimes there's a preparation process. He's got to strategize and organize and get us ready for what he's about to do. And it's what you're going through in your life. Don't think a quick fix that God's going to do, but God is preparing something. And I really believe this in my heart, that God is doing something in us. I believe there's tremors, there's things happening, there's shakings, but I believe that God's preparing something within us and shaping us for what he's about to do. I really believe that. So don't think that God's not going to bless us, but he's already blessed us and he's preparing us, he's organizing us, he's repositioning us. And then he put it in their hands and he says, you go and feed them. In our hands. So God gives it back to us, but what he gives to us is something that's blessed, something that's precious. You know, what God gives you, do you treasure it? So the gifting that we had, we once used to maybe despise it and take it for granted. Now we reckon God has blessed it. And God, I'm going to honor that which you've given me. And Lord, I'm going to use it for the best, for your glory. And they went out and they began to hand out these loaves and these fishes. And it says they kept going with these baskets. They kept breaking it, and they kept, Jesus kept breaking it and passing it out to them. And they go out and they feed one group, next group, next group, next group. And it says, it goes on to say, until they were satisfied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? Jesus doesn't leave you half full. You know, sometimes, you know, we're around the table and the kids will have some of the dinner, and then afterwards they get to the point and they say, I'm still hungry. You hear that? I'm still hungry. They've had the dinner. I'm still hungry. I think what they're really wanting is some ice cream or some sweets. And I'm still hungry. But Jesus, he satisfies. He satisfies. When we're hungry in this world, you know, whatever it may be, you know, whether it be drink, drugs, whether it be sex, whatever it be, you know, something else in this world, whatever materialism, we go out and we seek and we seek and we seek, and it will never, ever satisfy. It never will. But Jesus always satisfies. He's the only one who truly satisfies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they knew, these 5,000 men and all their wives and children knew that Jesus satisfies. And he came. I better move on. He said, they ate and they were satisfied. Praise God. And then Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, I want you to gather up what's left. So not only did he satisfy, not only was there enough, but there was more than enough. He's the El Shaddai. He's the more than sufficient one. He's all sufficient. He's more than enough. Isn't that good with God? He's the abundant God. So he gives and then he overflows. He gives more than enough. And you see it again and again in Scripture. And you think, don't think what I give you is enough. When he loves us, he lavishes his love on us. When he pours out his Spirit, he pours out to overflowing. When he gives in abundance. Praise God. You know, those people, they had to receive what that blessing was. Or they could have turned it away, but they received it. You and I need to receive the goodness of God and be grateful for it. But it was more than enough. And he said, gather up the pieces. And I just want to just finally take note of this because I think it's really important. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said, why did you say gather them up? Was it because we might be a bit hungry later and we have them as leftovers? Sometimes we do that. We stick over the leftovers in the fridge. Was he thinking, well, there might be others that might need it and they can have the leftovers? I don't think that's what he was thinking because God always gives the best. What was he thinking? I think the lesson we learn is in the next story that we read. And I'm just going to just very, very quickly. It says that Jesus, what happened next? I won't read it. You can read it later. What happens next? Jesus says, it says immediately, so they've gathered up these baskets, 12 baskets full. It says immediately they had to get back in the boat and go off, okay, to go into the boat, to go off, and Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. So they gathered it up. They didn't leave it there. They would have taken it with them and put it on the boat with them. So on the boat, on this time, they're on there, on their own. Jesus had gone already to pray, to go off to the other side. So there they are, rowing away with these leftovers in the boat. And we see in the story next that Jesus said to them, he said, Jesus is there praying, he's looking in the fourth watch of the night, so it's early hours of the morning, Jesus is watching them as he sees his disciples. And I wonder whether Jesus is laughing at some point as he sees them struggling against the wind, or whether he's moved with some kind of, you know, worry. I don't think he'll be worried, but there'll be some kind of emotion. But as they're paddling against this wind, the storms are rising, and he sees them struggling. And it says that he gets out and walks towards the boat. You know, just in that, you know, when Jesus sees us struggling, he comes towards you. But they had to, you know, we read later on, Peter cried out and said, Jesus, if it's you come to me and call me out of the boat. And then Jesus got into the boat. I think there are times in life where Jesus comes to us, he comes so far to you, and he'll wait for you to invite him into your situation. And sometimes we want Jesus to deal with everything, but we never actually invite him into the situation. We say, Jesus, come and walk with me. Come and get in the boat with us in the midst of the storm. Come and help us get through this time. And maybe for that's a word for somebody here today, you need to hear that Jesus is waiting for you to actually invite him into your situation, your circumstance, your job, your life. Invite him in to your finances. And Jesus is standing there and said, I'm right here. I see the trouble you're in. Will you invite me in? But Jesus said, take courage, don't be afraid. They thought it was a ghost that was coming near them. He said, take courage, don't be afraid, I'm not a ghost. And when he spoke, they recognized his voice. We need to recognize his voice. And then I think verse 51 and 52. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Verse 52 says, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but they had their hearts were hardened. So purposely, the writer is put in here and told us that what they're going through, if they'd learned something from the loaves, they would have learned something about the situation. They probably wouldn't be in the situation they're in with the wind. They were fearful, they were worried, they were anxious. I believe that Jesus wanted them to carry those leftovers in the boat as a reminder to them that he's a miracle-working God of who he is, that he will provide in every moment, in every circumstance. It was not there just for in case they got hungry a bit later, although they might have snacked on it on the boat. It was there, I believe, as a reminder. And I believe God would want us to know today is, what are the things that are in your boat, wherever we're going through, those miracles, those testimonies where God has moved in your life, those memories of his faithfulness, of his workings. Because God wants us to look at those baskets and see, can you remember how I provided? Can you remember how I cared for these people? Can you remember how we met them in the need? Can you remember how I used that nothingness or the littleness they had and multiplied it? That's how great I am. So I will calm these storms and I will be with you and I'll speak that word and I'll bless you in the situation you're in. You need not fear. This is the character and the nature of God. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? You know, you may feel Jesus is at a distance and he's not there with you in the situation, but I tell you, the Bible says he's constantly interceding with us in prayer and he's watching over your life. And when he sees you in trouble, he's going to come right there and stand by, wait for you to invite him in to come and help you in that situation and come and bless everything you're going through so you can begin to come through that with a testimony, with some scraps, with some leftovers in the end. You know, God has given us everything. And it may be just the leftovers we feel we've got to work on right now. But he's given you something. Praise God. This says, Scott and Ruth and Mary, would you come and just lead us in a song? Can we stand together? Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you teach us words of life. We thank you, Lord, that every one of us here, Lord, none of us is wasted. None of us is, Lord, Lord, many people may have given up on us, but you have not. Thank you, Father, that you've given us all a measure of faith. You've given us all something. Lord, I pray you'd shine your holy torch on our lives. Shine your holy torch in this church and this fellowship and begin to show us, Lord, show us those loaves that we have. Show us the fish which you put in our hearts. Show us that which is in one another and ourselves. Show us, Father. Lord, would you give us compassion, the things that are moving in your heart, that you're caring about, that you're concerned about in this community, in these lives, in this fellowship. And may we not ignore those stirrings of compassion, but recognize that you want us to do something about it. Jesus says to us, doesn't he? As he said to them, you feed them. You feed them. You say, what with? And he says, well, what have you got? He said, I've only got this, Lord. It's not enough. And he said, yes, it's enough. Give it to me. And then he gives it back to you. And he says, now go. 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 Go together. Go. And not only will you use what I give you, but there'll be more than enough left over to remind you that it was me that worked in the midst of hunger. It was me that worked when there didn't seem to be a possibility. It was me. And it'll always be me. And I'll always be there watching. I'll always be there ready to get in that boat. I'll always be there to give that word of advice. I'll always be there. Maybe I just want to give this opportunity. And if you're hungry today, and something that was said, and you just feel, God, I just need you to come and bless what I have. I'll be happy just to pray with you. So as we sing this song, I want to invite you to pray, just to pray over you. You know, if you're sick in your body, if you have things going on in your life and there's an emptiness there, and you need God just to bless that and to begin to remove that and those things to be gone in your life, you want us to begin to pray and minister into these areas of sickness in your life, then take this opportunity as well. But we just want to open up this opportunity now just for ministry, for God, and to invite God's hand of blessing upon us. So can I just ask maybe to hold our hands out? I know time's gone, but just hold your hands out and imagine you're one of those thousands of people that were there. And maybe you've got something in your right hand to give him, and the left hand you've got something to receive. Lord, I want to receive from you, but God, I want to give you this. Lord, I'm hungry for your word. I'm hungry, Lord. Lord, there's some areas in my life that I lack provision. Maybe material things that you're struggling to get by, and you've gone beyond your means, and you're saying, God, I have this to give, but Lord, I only have this. God, you don't want me to be in that place of poverty. Lord, you always give me what's enough, but you give me more than enough. I shall not lack, you say your word, Father. So Lord, I just invite you to come and shepherd us, come and bless us in this time, come and meet our every need, and maybe be thankful. But maybe, Lord, as you give to us, may we also be giving to you what we have. As you pour into us, may we pour into you. And then maybe you've got to pour into God before he pours into you. So just as we sing, as we worship, you want to come for prayer, then please do. But just receive and give, receive and give. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Ruth.